That picture right there reminds me so much of my life. And the hands there does not necessarily represent God, it represents my hands. Trying to be a potter. And it's only when I learn to just kind of let loose and let a true potter take over the life that it becomes to be something. That he can complete it as he saw in his mind. We have two cats. They are barn cats that just happen to live and eat in my garage, but they're barn cats, okay? One of them got hurt and spent about 6 weeks in a cage in my front living room as it was healing up. And yes, I had to do physical therapy on this cat, back leg. And ever since then, he thought that he should have a place inside my house. So as you go out one of the doors, you look around because he's looking. Looking for a way. And if you want to see what disappointment is, look at his face when it's me who comes out the door. There was a man by the name of Cain. Understand, sin is devious and slick, and it is looking for a way into your life. In Genesis chapter 4, 2 through 5, now Abel kept flocks, Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portion, from some of the firstborn flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face downcast. Folks, he was spitting mad. He was just overcome. So what emotions do you think were rising up within him? Do you think that there was patience and kindness? No, I kind of doubt that. How about envy and pride, dishonor, self-seeking, anger, resentment? Those sound more like it, doesn't it? Also sounds like what Paul has been talking to us in 1 Corinthians. Verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Because you didn't accept my offering. Do you know how hard I worked in the field to be able to do this? And I brought you the best. Abel, the only thing he did was watch over the small sheep and take one of them. He didn't. Why? It makes no sense to me. God says in verse 7, if you do what is right, Cain, will you not be accepted? That's a true statement, folks. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Sin, Cain, here are your options. I long to bless your life in ways you cannot even imagine, but there's another one force within you. Notice sin is crouching. Think of the cat in the house, watching, waiting for an opportunity. At the door or entrance into Cain's life. God doesn't call those emotions rushing to the door of Cain's life sin. Did you notice that? Sin is crouching out your door. It's not in yet. It's crouching at it. They are waiting at the door for Cain to let them in and give them a home. Give them a place. They desire to take root in his life, producing more of its fruit, whatever that fruit was. And Cain now has a choice to make. God is warning that sin is an active, crouching force seeking to dominate him while urging him to take responsibility and master it. Folks, Scripture is consistent. What God told Cain, he's telling us today. God could say that about each one of us, couldn't he? As we go through life, sin is crouching at your door. I would like to say it's never there, but that would be a lie. It is crouching, waiting for a way to come in. But we must be able to identify it and master it. It's hiding in the shadows, stroking our emotions, looking for a permanent space in our mind and in our heart, longing to take you down with it. And just like Cain, we are responsible to rule over it. It's never going away, guys. that enticement for sin is never going away, but we must be quick to identify it and then rule it. Make the right decisions. Why? He tells us, because it desires to have you. Desires to have your life. Desires to have your emotions. Desires to have your family. Desires to have your health. Whatever that is, it desires to rule over you. And that is no different with Cain than it is with us today. The Amplified Version says, "And if you do not do well but ignore my instruction, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you to overpower you." Same thing today. This is really what the Apostle Paul has been saying to us in 1 Corinthians 13, isn't it? It's the same thing. Sin is crouching at the door. Verses 1 through 3, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." Look out. Your pride is taken loose, is what he's saying. "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. Even though these great and mighty miracles happen, if they do not see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, it amounts to nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Then he told us last week, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not... Now, here's what he's saying. Guys, here are the sins that are waiting at the door to creep in. Just like he did to Cain. Exactly. Sin is crouching at our door, and you will find that sin, your sin, somewhere in this list. That's longing to take over your life and longing to lead you down a path that you never thought that you would walk on. And God is saying, choose. Choose carefully. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Choose. Which sin is crouching at your door, looking for a way to get in? It's the one that feels normal. The one that feels like it would bring you some joy or some relief or whatever you want to say. But this is then Paul, his next verses, because the question is, what do we do about it, Randy? How do I look at my life to keep these sins that want to creep in, and then I got to try and get them out the door? You ever try to find a cat that doesn't want found in the house? Yeah, it's almost impossible. And that's what sin does in your life. It's there. Our verses this morning, 8 through 13. "But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes," it's the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns and brings his kingdom physically here on earth, "what is in part disappears." There's no need anymore. "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I responded like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection in a mirror. Then, when completeness comes, we will see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." What is Paul saying that can help us during those times where sin has got a hold of us? And the first thing I saw is that everything in this life is temporary except love, so treat it with care. Everything in this life, everything going on in your life is temporary, okay? Verse 8, "But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there is tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away." These are the highest levels in the Corinthian church. And he says, in time, they're going to pass away. It does not matter. The highest cravings and desires of the spiritual gifts of the Corinthian church were only temporary. They made it permanent and honorable and everything else. It's not going to last. All the great achievements of mankind in this life, folks, they're temporary. The king of Babylon walked around one day and was prideful. Look at this great and mighty Babylon that I have created. And God stripped them from that with the next breath. Every achievement, everything that we will rise up of man in your life, look at what I have built, my family, my farm, my business, whatever it is, it's temporary. All the great knowledge and wisdom that God allows, it's temporary. It's temporary. What about the things that cause envy and pride and dishonor and self? What about all of those temptations? Folks, those are temporary. The things you are fighting with, the things that you are trying to keep out of your life, they are temporary. They do not go on forever. What about your list of wrongs against you? Temporary. What about your list of failures? Temporary. Our whole life can be boiled down to three things of importance. And the three now remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Faith in the Lord God Almighty and His plan and in His provision for salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ, where our sins can be forgiven, not just past sins, not just today's sins, all sins forever, totally put someplace that God says, I'll never look at them again. Hope in the firmly rooted person of Jesus Christ. Our eternity is held in the hands of Jesus, not us. He holds my salvation. But folks, love for everything that God loves. Faith, hope, and love. But of these three, only one is eternal, and that is love. When we are standing face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't have to have faith. I see Him. I don't have to have hope. I'm going to be resting in it. But love, unfiltered adoration, and praise and glory are ours. That's what's coming, folks. That's why we don't have to mess with all the lists that Paul had. What's coming is so magnificent and so marvelous. Some of us will get there early. Once we die, Paul tells us that in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ we will be. Some of us will get there early. Some of us will be transformed when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. But here's the thing. We will all meet Christ in the air, glorified body. So the things of this life that are dragging you down, they are temporary. Hang on, Christians. They're temporary. But the other thing he says is we're living today with partial intel. We don't have all of what God is going to do. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. God has given us enough information to live this life for His glory and to be ready for eternity. But folks, He's not told us everything. He's given us enough that we can be ready and live this life in a fashion that brings Him glory. We can be settled in who we are in Christ Jesus and what He has done. We no longer fear death. We no longer have to fear the disease that can come upon us. We no longer have to fear a body that eventually will just drag us away, because our eternal home is waiting for us. But we do not see this life in eternity with complete information. What's heaven like? Got no clue. Will they be real streets of gold? Got no clue. Don't care. What's heaven like? I don't care. Jesus is there. That's all I care. And I will be able to see Him. And all the things that have happened to us and all the things that we've tried to live this life as He's instructed us to live will make sense when we see Him. And we will know Him in full just as we are known. We do not have to envy or be prideful or keep record of wrongs because we don't have all the facts. We hold on to it. We don't have all the facts yet. We don't know why that person responded that way. We think we do, But we don't. We don't know what God's going to do. He allowed that. So what's he going to do? We don't know. And this is the same for all the other. Love is not. Love is not envious. I don't have to envy that person. Who knows? God bless them. Bless them. Maybe that's what he's going to use to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the goodness of the Lord that brings salvation, is what Paul says. We view this life through a one-way mirror. For now we see only a reflection in a mirror and how it affects us. And when we look at that one-way mirror, you know what we see? Us. And everything that happens here through that mirror reflects back to us. And we never give thought of what's God doing? What's on the other side of that mirror? What is God going to do in our lives? What's he doing in their life? So I don't have to keep my list any longer. That's God's list. He can do with it what he wants. I'm going to understand that there's more here than I can fathom. And I will just release that to him. We never completely trust God's hand who operates with complete and total understanding. God, here's my list. I've been holding it for a long time. I have been reliving this list almost every day of my life because I don't want to take the chance that they're going to do that again and hurt me again. So I'm reliving that. And God's saying, why? Why do that? God, here is this sin or that sin or whatever, this failure. That doesn't define you. You're my child. You're more than a conqueror. Well, I don't feel like more than a conqueror. That's because you're looking at your list rather than me. I have complete, hear God say, I have complete and total understanding. And I know what's coming. Trust me with it. Trust me with it. Why did God allow Israel to suffer hunger and thirst in the desert? Well, he told us to teach them that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word of the Lord. Why did God allow Joseph to suffer as a slave and in prison? So that he could do great things to the nation of Israel and bring them into the land of promise. Why did God allow Jesus to walk through extreme suffering? So that you and I would have a Savior. You and I. And he chose that for you. Don't tell me your life has no meaning or no purpose. Don't tell me God does not love you, because Jesus went to the cross for you, bearing the penalty of your rebellion. When you begin viewing through God's two-way mirror, we start looking at his hand in our events. What are you going to do here, God? God, that really hurt. Really hurt when they said or did that. But God, what are you going to do with it? Would you give me the blessing of seeing your hand work? And where understanding is difficult or missing, we trust. That's why we don't have to envy. That's why we don't have to be prideful. That's why we do not have to be self-seeking. That's why all that other things on his list, we don't have to do that. We simply trust him. We let our faith, hope, and love loose in our lives. And oh, will that change you? Oh, will that change you? Let God be God in the events of your life, even if they are difficult. Let him be the event. But folks, the last thing he said is completeness, fullness in your life is coming. It's on the way. It's on the horizon. Will it be in my lifetime, Randy? Got no clue? That's God's business, not mine. We are just supposed to live in a fashion that brings him glory down here. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. For now we only see a reflection in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Completeness, folks, is coming. There's coming a day when every child of God will be raised in newness and completeness. No longer will we battle these bodies of sin. No longer will we battle with the temptations that are coming. No longer will we struggle with questioning our own motives. The day of completion is coming. So I don't want to do the list that Paul had, because I'm looking forward to that day. I want that day to come. The child who struggles with addiction, that day is coming in which that'll be taken. The shame, the pride, the envy, anger, all those others, no longer fighting them. That day is coming. and you will be given a glorified body in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, forever with Christ Jesus we will be. That day is coming. So as you look at the sin in your life, look forward to the cross. Look through the cross to eternity. We will possess glorified bodies just as Christ Jesus did. Our old body and mind of flesh and sin will someday be set free. How do you look forward to that? How I look forward to that day. Paul says we will then be complete, whole, full, as we were created to be. We share the righteousness of Jesus. And because we share in His righteousness, folks, we also share in all of His inheritance. We are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. What's that mean, Randy? I don't know. But God does. And whatever God has got going, I'm in, guys. I'm in on that. So how do we fight the sinful emotions of life? Keep looking expectantly for your day of completion. Keep your eyes up. That's one of the first things we teach boys in basketball. As they're dribbling down the court, they want to look down and do this. Got to get your head up. You got to look ahead. What's ahead of you? Or if you are running down court, you got to look some back. There's a pass coming, and it's going to bump you on the head if you're not looking. Be ready. Keep your eyes focused, if you will. Don't get stuck in just today as if that's all there's going to be. Look ahead. Completeness is coming. Don't let the cares and hurts of yesterday keep your eyes there. You will live those hurts and pains the rest of your life until you learn to turn them loose to the God who knows, to the just God who was promised to make everything right and new. Paul said that that is like a child who grew up. That we have learned, many of us are still living with a child's mentality spiritually. We've not grown up. It's still all about us when it should be all about Jesus. Keep your eyes on our day of glory. It is coming, folks. Randy, do you think it'll be soon? I don't know. That's God's territory. I like to guess, and I would like it soon. Keep your head up and your eyes ahead in anticipation. Keep your heart full of love and devotion to God Almighty. Keep worshiping Him. Keep singing those praise hymns and songs of glory to Him. Keep being in His Word and seeing who you are in Christ Jesus and who God is. Knowing that together with Christ Jesus, we will be forever. Paul experienced so many difficulties in life. He has a list. He was shipwrecked 3 times, floated in the sea a couple days once. He'd been caned. He'd been beaten, been imprisoned. I'd say, God, I've had about enough. I'm not sure I can do that. You know how Paul got through it? Romans 8:18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. In us. That's how you get through and find completion in your life. That's how you get through. Don't know what you're doing in my life, God. I don't know why this is allowed. I don't know why this had to happen. But I trust you that what is ahead of me is so far grander than what is going on that I choose to respond to this life through that. Now tell me something. How do the sinful emotions of this world compare to that verse? How does envy compare to the glory of Lord Jesus Christ? How does keeping a list, how does pride, how does arrogance compare to the grandeur of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul says, I've been in highs, I've been in the lowest of lows, but nothing compares to the glory of God that will be revealed in us. Bow your heads, please. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the boldness of Paul to write those down and how you apply them differently in every generation. Truth is truth. How it is applied is sometimes different. And Lord, may we learn to look ahead, that we will not always struggle as we are now. We will not always hurt as we are now. We will not always be confused as we are now. That there's coming a day in which I can look into your face and be accepted because Jesus is my Savior. There's coming a day in which I can look into your eyes and be feel accepted rather than shame. There's coming a day in which the glory of the Lord, I will experience that in fullness. Lord, your worship down here is marvelous. I cannot even grasp the glory of hearing thousands of angels and thousands and millions of Christians singing, "Holy are you, Lord." That's ours. And nothing can take that from me. So I will rely on you and your word and the promise you have. I will let loose of all these little things here on earth. I will let loose of my hurts and pains. I will let loose of my shame. I will let loose of my perceived failures. I will let loose of all of that. And I will put my arms around the grandeur of Jesus Christ because you are my Lord and my Master. You accept me and you lead me just as you promised. Now, Father, that's true for everyone who have received you and your salvation, your forgiveness. And Lord, if there's one here who has not chosen to do that, then this world is all they really have. This is as good as it gets. And I pray that your Spirit would be upon them so difficult and hard and drawing that it just brings them to you today. And Lord, those who are struggling, may they come to your altar. Those who are questioning, may they come to your altar. Those who just need to spend some time with you because it's been a while since they've talked to you, may they come to the altar. And thank you. Thank you for the glory of Christ Jesus. For your honor alone, amen.